Okay, my boys, let's begin. We're up to Perikov Gimel towards the end. Perikov Gimel, the discussion of Ahala and Ahaliva. This very unique relationship between them and all of the sins that they were guilty of doing. So we're getting there towards the end, not exactly, but we're getting close. We're up to, let's say, Pastah Pasuk Lamed Vav. Pasuk Lamed Vav begins, Vayom Hashem Elai Ben Adam Hasishpoik Es Aholav Yes Aholiva V'yagei Lohen Es Ta'avoy Sehen. Hashem says, Hatishpoik, will you now do me the favor and engage them in dialogue? Okay, that's the simple reading of the Pasuk. I want you to be Tishpoik, I want you to judge them. Judging of your means in this context, Vikuach. I want you to gather people, I want you to engage them in a discussion and analyze, ask them why exactly have you committed these sins. Now the truth is, a very interesting parish here on the page, you don't have this in your edition, it's called the Mincha Gedoila. Okay, you don't have that on your edition, I don't believe so. So over here, not on this pasuk, way ahead, not way ahead, but a few pages down, there's a massive, massive Mincha Gedoila, and he refers back to this pasuk. I just want to make this point, and he points out that this expression of Hasishpoit, where Hashem is asking Yechezkel to engage the Jewish people in dialogue, this is not the first time we had this expression. This expression already appeared twice before. Back in Perek Chof, where Hashem said to him, Hasishpoit oisam Hasishpoit ben Adam, Hashem said a similar expression, will you now go and judge them? Meaning, gather them together and engage them in conversation. And then again in Perichov Beis, it said, Hasishpoit, Hasishpoit, Esir Hadomim. So now for the third time, Hashem is saying to Yechezkel, Hasishpoit, Es Oholov, Yes Oholiva. Okay, so now unfortunately, so this parish points out is that there are major differences between, there are differences between what it says here in this Pasuk Lamed Vav, relative to what it says back in the other parakim, in that here it's singular, only once, hasishpoit. Whereas back in Perek Chof, in Perek Chof Beis, there the word hasishpoit is repeated twice. Hasishpoit, or some hasishpoit. And the second time it says, hasishpoit, hasishpoit, esir hadamim. So the question is, why there is it, those two references, is it repeated twice? And why here is it only mentioned once? Another difference he points out is the sequence when it goes on to describe all of the sins. There it says, first their sins. So another difference is there. The word hasishbait, the expression hasishbait, is the beginning of the conversation. Hashem says to Yechezkel, I want you to engage them in dialogue and tell them about all of their sins. And then the psukim continue to enumerate the sins of the Jewish people and describe their punishment. Here, in this parak, it is appearing at the end. First, the Navi enumerates the sins and tells them about the punishment, and then at the end says, Hasishpoit es aholav yes aholiv. Okay, so these are the two major differences that the Mincha, this commentator, the Mincha Gedoila, points out between the way it appears, the expression here in Perek Chav Gimel verse, what it says in Perek Chav and Perek Chav Beis. So how do we understand this? So he explains the differences there. Hashem was telling Yechezkel to actually gather the people and sit with them and talk to them and tell them what they're doing wrong and the punishment they're going to get. Here, in this pasuk, Hashem is not telling Yechezkel to actually speak to them. Hashem is telling Yechezkel to understand himself in his own mind why they're going to suffer for their deeds. That's why here it's not there's no repetition. The repetition has a connotation, according to this commentator, that you're going to do it for real. I want you to actually gather the people and actually engage them in a conversation. when it's not repeated twice, only appears once, it has a different connotation where Hashem is not telling him to actually do it. I want you in your mind to understand why these terrible things are going to come upon them. They deserve it, as we've just enumerated, I've shown you their sins, I've told you what's going to happen, and now you yourself should come to acceptance. Obviously, Yechezkel was very troubled, he was very pained that his people are going to suffer. So here Hashem is telling Yechezkel, it sounds like a psychological technique, is that just accept it. You have to learn to accept the reality. You have to go, and the way you're going to accept the reality is you're going to have in your mind, I want you in your mind, it's not for real, I want you in your mind to make believe you're engaging them in a conversation and telling them you're now going to get what you deserve. And in this way, Yechezkel will himself be able to accept the suffering that is coming upon Klal Yisrael. Okay, maybe the answer is not really, satisfying 100%, but at least it's an interesting point to make, is that this concept appears three times. Is hasishbait, the previous two times it's doubled. The order is first the hasishbait, the instructions, and then the enumeration of sins and the punishment, whereas here it is first the enumeration of sins and the punishment, and then it says hasishbait. Okay, so let's see over here the Mitzudos David, Pasuk Lamed Vav. The Pasuk says hasishbait ha'im roitza ato lehisfakech im olav im oliva. Are you willing to go and engage them in conversation in Musar? And then when you discuss with them, I want you to tell them, enumerate all of their sins. Okay, Rashi says very simple, Hasishbait, Lashon Vikuach. Over here in this context, Hasishbait means I want you to give Musar. I want you to give Musar. By the way, that's the primary role of a Navi. We forget many times what the primary role of a Navi is. Probably we think they're seers, they're visionaries. They see the future. That's not what their job. Their main role was, that's part. There are 10 names in Navi, there are 10 different names for prophecy. But someone who doesn't have the background of learning Nach, you get the impression, they tell you the future. It's nice to know, it's a good feeling to predict the future. You get a little sense of your orientation. Your surroundings. In the physical world, a person likes to know his physical surroundings. You go to a new place, you want to know where is the local grocery store, where is the bank, where is the local shuls, where is the mikvah, where is this. A person wants to know basic his surroundings. So in time as well, a person has a need to know perspective. Where am I holding in time? What has come before me? What has come after me? Where do I fit in? What's my role? What's my mission? But that's not the primary role of another. The primary role of another is to give Musar to Klal Yisrael. Here when you have an apostate where it's Hasishbait, as all of Yesahaliva, when Hashem is telling Yechezkel to give Musar, as we had the two other places back in Pachav and Pachav Gimel, where we mentioned this before, this is really honing in on the primary role of a Navi to give Musar to Klal Yisrael.
Do Navi tend to always predict the doom and gloom, or do they also predict the positive?
Positive, of course. The Gemara is Yeshaya, the entire Sefer Yeshaya is all Nechama. It's all a prediction of comfort, of good things, of good days. Good days are yet to come when there's going to be Nechama for Klal Yisrael.
But has a number of
functions.
Including, teaching Torah, giving psak.
Well, the Kohanim, their primary role is to teach. The primary role of a Kohen is to teach Torah. The primary role of a Navi is to give Musa.
But what I'm saying, I'm thinking of Rabbi Grunblatt's book when he discusses this, that the era of prophecy ended and Tarsha Shabal Peh took over.
Right.
So prior to that,
yes,
it was a very much a Horah duty on the part of the Nevi'im.
The Nevi'im. Okay, they were the ones, they were transmitting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now through the Koyach of Torah.
Now we had to develop it ourselves.
Ourselves through Siyat HaShemayah, through studying and being Omel B'Torah. Right, but that's a different, but it's a different role. And that is why, this is, I once heard from a Baal Musar, so he said, why people, they learn Mesilas Yesharim and Chavis Alavavis. Today's Ramchal's Yahrzeit.
Yeah.
Ah. Zuchuso Yogin Aleinu. We are so, I don't think we even appreciate how influenced we are by the Ramchal. Our entire understanding, our entire Yadus today of the way we relate to the next world and our role in this world and come out all Yoni Kabbalah, it all comes from the Ramchal. Ramchal opened up a whole understanding. We have no hasag of how much influence the Ramchal has upon us ad hayom hazeh. Okay, but anyway, that's what one of the Balei Musi says. You know, he appreciates, you know, people who learn Mesilas Yesharim and Chovos Halavavos, Shari Tshuva, and Derech Hashem, and the long list of all the Sifrei Musar. But he says he's saying that the real Musar is to learn Navi. Like, he really questions, why do people even spend time learning Mesilas Yesharim before they're fluent in Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Yecheskel? Because Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, all of the Sifrei Nevuah, all the Sifrei Musar, you can't even turn one page without them quoting a pasuk in the Vim Achronim. It's not even Shaya. Go try to turn one page in any of the major Svarim of Musar and not have a quote from a pasuk in the Navi. This is the Navi is Musar. This is like the core. This is the real deal. And they have a real, that's a very important thing. You know, today we live in a world where we do everything backwards. We don't even know Chumash, and we're already learning Baki and Shas and Paiskin. We don't know nothing. Jumping into, they don't even have the foundation. The foundation of Musar are the words of the Nevi'im. And it's very powerful when we have here a pasuk in Yechezkel where Hashem is telling him, because, you know, you can be fooled. You can be fooled and not necessarily realize that the words of Navi are Musar. But when you have a pasuk where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is honing in and says Hasishboit Esolavi Esoliva, I'm telling you, Yechezkel, your role now is to judge them. What does it mean to judge? Rashi, it means Lashon Vikuach, it means to give Musa. Okay, let's see over here. Radak Pasik Lamid Vav writes, Vayemaha Asishpoit Asa'ala Vesaliva Achashayushtem Bederech Echod. Since both, now in this is the first time in this parak where Ahola and Ahaliva are joined together. Until now, we first had a long description of Ahola, Oyhel Shelah, her tent. That was the Aseres HaShvatim who we built against Hashem. Then we had Oholiva, Oyhel Sheli Yerushalayim, and Hashem, we described in this parak in detail at first, the Aseres HaShvatim sin, and then Yerushalayim, they copied the sins of Shomrin, and now Hashem is putting them together as a group, and Hashem is instructing that you should give them Musar in one shot. Obviously, the Musar that Shomrin deserved was different. Their sins is different than the sins of Yerushalayim. Now, here we have over here the common denominator. It's interesting over here that when we're going to look at the read the psukim, there's so much repetition in these parakim, in these psukim. But what's interesting to keep in mind is now that we're grouping them together, there's a common denominator in their sins, which you cannot say on your own, because they lived in their sins took place at very different times. Ahala was before Ahaliva. Times changed. The Skatul Hadoros, the Nisyonis were different. The generation was different. And yet here there is going to be one common theme between the two. So what is the sense over here? Let's see the Mitzudas Pavayim HaSishpait and the Radak. We did it already? Okay, that's it. Next pasuk. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Ki Nei Ni'efu. They have committed adultery. V'dam Bidehen. And they're murderers. V'yes Gilu Lehem Ni'afu. Ni'efu. And with their two, that means, and two, their gilulayin, their abominations, they committed adultery. So I guess it's an explanation. The gam es b'nehem asher yolduli haviru alohen liochla. They gave it over. They passed it through the fire as a food for the idols. So seemingly, the end of the pasuk is an explanation of the beginning of the pasuk. The pasuk first begins with a generality that they committed adultery. And then it says they committed murder. What is the adultery? The adultery is the gilulayhen. They took idols, abominations, and they worshipped them. And the murder was taking their own children and offering them as sacrifices to the gods, specifically to Moloch. Let us see what it says in the Mitzvah. The Stava Pasuk Lamed Zayin Ki Neifu Begil Yarayos V'Dom Bidehen Shafchu Dom Naki V'Yes Gilu Lehen Neifu Zehu Avodas HaPesilim. Okay, so over here, it's not what I told you. He learns, Radak, Matsudas learns, there are three separate things. First is Gilya Rais, then is Shvichas Tomim, then is Gilulehen Ni'efu, even though we were using exactly the same word, but here it refers to Avodah Zara. Asha Yolduli, then it refers to refers to sacrificing their children as gods. So this is not a murder, this is not the murder we mentioned in the beginning of the passage. It's not murder. They were thugs. But now we're describing over here, they gave over their children to Avodah Zarah, to the Loimar, Hamiyuchadim li little moid bebeis ha-sefer, those that are designated to me learn bebeis ha-sefer, they took them and they offered them as sacrifices, seviru hoyu ma'avin b'lipsilem li'os lohem l'machol, to be as food. And this really, Mitzvah is not really telling us, he says a few words, but I think what he's referring to is the Medrash we learned not that long ago, is that it was the custom in ancient times that a family had many children, there was one child that the parents pushed, they dedicated to learn Torah. In other words, if you have, let's say, five sons, so the parents, no matter what, they don't care, one of you is going to have to sit in koilo. That's the way it is, whether you like it or not. Other ones, Eina Chanami, will encourage you to make a parnas, make a living, but the family has to have, a member of the family has to be oisek in Talmud Torah. That was the way. It's a very interesting idea. Today, you don't. It's not like that today. Today, parenting, the rules are whatever the child wants, whatever the child's cut out for. Okay, some parents say that, and then you have parents, no, all my children have to be in koil. And some say, no, chas v'shalom, they all have to make a parnasa. But it's not like, you don't hear such a thing as where parents say, listen, Baruch Hashem, I'm going to be five children, and they all can pretty much do whatever they want, and I have influence, and I'm going
to
say, listen.
It used to be like that. Yeah? One kid became the rabbi.
Was groomed, the oldest one was groomed. Not necessarily, okay, and then maybe it used to be like that. Today, not necessarily like that. There are a lot of rabbis today that have different keys, small keys, even famous, that the children didn't want to be rabbis. I know one particular very, 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 I don't want to say a name, but it was one very, very, very big rabbi. So all of his children, they didn't want. They did not, they were just not interested. And the Hasidus went to a cousin, they went to someone else, and he's a big rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. And it's interesting. Okay, but any event over here, the Medrash says that the families would dedicate one child will be dedicated to sit and learn Torah. So it says here that they took specifically this child that was earmarked to sit in Koilo, and it was that child they brought to the Moilich to offer him as a sacrifice to the gods. So that adds to the sin. Right? If you're going to take one of your children, you're going to give your children to the gods, so why take the one that's in Koilo? Take the one that's the doctor. Why take the one? And this adds to the contempt they had to Hashem to take the one that was dedicated to study Torah. Okay, let's go to the next words of, okay, they gave over to the gods. Let's see what it says in Rashi. Rashi Paslam Zayin says, "V'dam b'dehen b'ni'ufehem shavchudam." In their acts of adultery, they murdered. So, what does that mean exactly? That somehow the murder led to bloodshed. I guess if the husband found out, we can have over here an interesting medrash in Gemara soon. If the
he seems to think that it's what we said before about sacrificing to the children.
B'ni'uf, through their acts of ni'uf of avodah zarah. Part of the service of worshiping the gods was to kill people, was to sacrifice their children. Okay, the S gi lulehem niefu. Sorry for boyish. Yeah. Next, gi lulehem niefu. Next word. Niyuf shalohem im gi lulehem hayu. The niyuf shalohem was with the gi lulehem. With the gi lulehem haya. The dames b'neihem zehu shvichas hadam shebidehem. This was shvichas dam. Now, I don't know if you have this in your edition. Do you have any more words in your edition?
He has the parentheses and he says he doesn't think that's part of Rashi.
Okay, do you have any other editions? Okay, so what's three words?
Kolaymar? But the commentary is that it probably doesn't belong to Rashi. It was an addendum from some edition.
Okay, someone that was probably from Breslov. Did you ever read the Breslov Svarim? It's all about this. Kolaymar shehitziu zera libatola bidehem. Okay, they were guilty of this terrible sin, v'asu teshuva, and they did not do teshuva. I told you, there's a world of teva, of nigla, and there's a world of nistar. In the world of nigla, there are three averis, big averis: avodah zarah, gilui arayos, shfichas damim. Okay, those are the big three. The sin of being moitzi zera levatala, no one is denying that it's a terrible sin, but it doesn't appear anywhere. It's not in the Tayag Mitzvah, it's not the Lois HaSeis, it's not on the charts, it's just not there. It's not there. It's not there. Altogether, period. What? Is it even hinted at? Maybe you'll find a remez in a pasuk somewhere. What? Okay, for Enochanami. Okay, you're right. Enochanami. In the world of Kabbalah, Shvichas Domim is not so bad. The guy will come back as a Gilgal. What's the problem? It might be better from the next time around, right? Gilia Arayas it wasn't Levatola. Gilia Arayas, the Zera. So he did an Avera. He'll do Tshuva. The Zera was not Levatola. It was done in an Oifan that's normal. And Avodah Zarah? So no, you'll channel your method of worshipping God, idols one day, La Hashem. I mean, it's crazy what I'm saying, right? I'm saying this is totally crazy. I'm 100% saying, but in the Olam of Kabbalah, Olam HaNister, these three Averis, they're Averis, but they're not at the top of the chart. The Averis that is on the top of the chart is the Averis being Moitzi Zera Levatola. That is like the crown. That is like the top of the top. That is the worst possible Averis a person can do. Yeah, in the Olam of Kabbalah. Yeah, as I told you, we don't live in this world, and we should not live in this world. But you haven't seen something. There's a world of Yosef the Ramchal, right? So there's a world of Nigla, and there's a world of Nistar. We are all brought up in this room as students of the world of Nigla. And the world of Nigla, there's a Vodazorgi, the Reshvi Chastamim. But in the Olam HaNistar, in the Svarim that deal with Sisrei Torah, it's a whole different perspective. And in that perspective, this Aver that he describes over here is the worst of the worst. The world comes to an end from these type of Averis. And it's a very big problem today, because today with the internet and all that's going on, there's no question about it. There's a tremendous ribui of this Avera, not just among us, among us, but in the world. And this In according to the people who are a familiar understanding of the Sisrei Torah, this is a very big problem. This is really corroding the foundation of the world, this type of sin. Like Rav Michal says, it's very fast. Rashi, it's not Rashi's derech to write things like this. Rashi is always in the Olam HaNigla. He's not from the Olam HaNister. And here we have over here something which snuck in into the Rashi, Kloimar, Shehotziu Zeh Levatol Bidehem V'loi Asu Teshuva. They did not do. Also, it's very strong over here as he writes that they did not do Teshuva. The Mekubalim also, they do mention, is that it's very easy to do Teshuva for this Avera. This Avera is the worst Avera in the world. Avodah Zogila Rashi Chastamim, you can't do Teshuva. I mean, you can do Teshuva, but you can't bring back the dead to life. Okay, if a woman is Mizana willingly, that's it. She can never return to her husband if she does it willingly. Avodah Zarah, Schil Hashem. Those Averis are Averis where it's very, very hard, almost impossible, for there to be reconciliation, for there to be a complete Shuvah. But in the breast of a Svarim, I don't know if you ever see a guy in the street, the guy who carries all the Svarim, he's always willing to give you. So take one of them, and I guarantee you, whatever he's going to give you, half of that Sefer is about this Rashi. Is about this Rashi.
They feel that it's like multiple infanticide, that you're killing lots of children, really? And these children return at the time that you die to upset your funeral. So that's...
This is only one little thing right here.
That's
why there's a minig not to take sons. Okay, so but you show
that's why you're shalaying the minig not to take sons to the Kura.
Not take sons to why not? Why?
Don't go to the Kura.
Why?
Because of the possibility of Zera Levatola comes to
You remind you that you're just one drop that succeeded, but there were a lot of drops that didn't.
I don't understand. It's Mekatre. By this sun coming, it's Mekatre and all. Okay, it's spooky. Okay, fine. Whatever it is, but one thing I want to point out. One thing, if you take the breastle of a swam, you learn you read these things. One thing is very clear is that to do teshuvah here, Rabbi Sai, it's very important. You say it. To do teshuvah for this avera that is destroying the world is very easy. It's very easy. Hashem is very, very willing to forgive for this sin. This sin is the easiest sin to attain kapara. If the person goes through the steps, you do what you have to do to do tshuva and erect safeguards that it shouldn't happen again, and to do tshuva. Again, avodah zarah shechasam gilaraitis, you're stuck. I mean, it's a dead end. But these things, there's a possibility, so there's a flip side. There's a flip side, and it's very interesting over here, you have in this Rashi, in this pasuk, describing of the worst averus, and someone went and put into this Rashi, stama, breast level, they put into this Rashi, this is the worst possible sin that with the pasuk referring to, you've killed your children, the potential of children have been destroyed. And I know someone who's a ger, it's very, very interesting, someone who's a ger, And he told me a little bit about this. He said that before he has a problem. He has problems, and he says, "You don't understand. I was a goy, and by a goy, we're Baruch Hashem. We're brought up like from the crib that this is taboo. This is like mamish, the worst of the worst of the worst. But goyim don't have this concept, and by them it's totally mutter. There's no limitation." And he's told me these things. And like, in fact, he remember he told me he spoke to Rabbi Belsky about this. Because now when he became a ger, it became like this change of hashkafa to recognize the kedusha and the choymer hadavar, for him, is a very, very hard thing. You're coming from a geisha world, a completely secular world, where they have no hasaga of why this type of thing should be asur. And yadus, where this is the worst possible avera you can possibly do. It's an asayan. And we have to appreciate it. And in this, Chazal says, where all of the kedusha of Klal Yisrael lies. So we all, and of course, this all starts with Shmir Sinayim. Okay, Rav Matas Hiel Salman, may he be good and well. So he may have Refuah Shlema. So he mamish was moiser. No, he made that asif in City Field many years ago, and that was like the first time, like a big thing to go combat. And he took a lot of criticism. He took a lot. Like, they clobbered him. They clobbered him from all sides. All sides he got. And like he says, he doesn't care. He believes this is something that is so critical. And like he said this many, many times, is like the degree of resistance from all over. From the Haredi world, from the semi-Haredi world, and the modern for sure, and even the secular world, they were totally laughing at this. Is he felt this is where all the kiddush of Klal Yisrael lies, and he doesn't care. He's willing to give up everything in order to bring to the conscience of Klal Yisrael, you know, there's something over here to this, and this, we don't appreciate how chomer this is, and it all starts with technology, Shmira Senayim, because once the seeds are planted, the mind just goes off and does whatever it wants on its own, and it's something where the Kiddush of Klal Yisrael lies. So it's something that's very interesting how this got into Rashi and what it says here. Okay, let's see what it says in the Radak. A person does tshuva. A person says, Slach lanu, a person is sincere. And he says, Slach lanu ki chatan, mechal lanu ki fashanu. I'm going to be careful that it shouldn't happen again. So according to what it says in this breastle of a svarim, I'd say clean slate. You don't gotta fast and make yourself meshuggah and do all these things and go crazy. Shayavim is a takana, is a tikkun for this. Chatas n'urim. They call it chatas n'urim because this typically is something which young people have more of a trouble with. Someone who's married, pas basala. It's not the biggest issue. But young people, so they call it all different terms, chatas n'urim. But in Echnami, but they say that a person is sincere and he says to Hashem, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do this again. I'm going to make sure that I protect myself, that I shouldn't have any hirhurim or anything that should come. That's it. Clean slate, you're forgiven. But if you murder someone, what are you going to bring back to life? Let's say you don't murder. Abizrayu de shvichas tamim. You embarrass someone. Or you cause someone, you take away his parnasa, you cause someone harm, and you cause him to lose part of his parnasa, so then it's also a bizrayu, an extension of shichas dam. Is it so easy to do tshuva? You have to go and ask him for mechila, you got to ask his family for mechila, and then you got to plead with the Kodesh Baruch Hashem. It's not going to forgive you so fast. You're going to have to go, and who knows, you're going to have to fast and give money, tzedakah, and do tshuva. It's the other averos are averos which... It's a very, very difficult process to cleanse yourself. But the Bali Kabbalists say that this Avera, it's very easy. It's what it says. I don't know how, no one came back from the Olam HaEmes to tell us what's going on there. But this is what it is. So there's a flip side. It's interesting over here, it says over here in the Rashi, V'loy asu teshuva. They didn't do tshuva. If you do tshuva, you're okay. You're okay. You don't have to go meshuga about it. Okay, let's go over here to Radak. Radak pasik lamed zayin ki niefu ze enei mashal ele bekamashmoy shayu minoafim es nishe re'ehem. This is taken literally. They had forbidden relations with their friends' wives. V'dom bidayem kamo shama yishayahu hanavidechem damim molayu v'chei nikres yushlam ir hadamim kamo shakosu v'lamalek. It's like it says above. V'yes giluihem niefu ze derech mashal avas chagilum kamo isha hameno efes tachas yisho tikach ezorim. Kain Yisrael, Zanu Tacha, Sokel Yisparach, Shoye Isha, Lok Shahoya, Isha. The Hashem, Kaviyachol, is the husband of Klal Yisrael. So when Klal Yisrael worship idols, it's as if they are having forbidden relations with another man's wife. Lokhu Elohim Achidim Lo Evdam. The Gam Esmenehem, Asher Yoldu, Liam and Radak, Mil Radak. And the children which they gave birth to me, Kloima Lavoidosi, the children that were designated for my service, ki bishmoina yamim leidosam molu oisam vichnisum bibris. So here the Radak says something very interesting, not like what Rashi quotes the Smedrish. Mitsudos seems to quote the Medrash, like I told you, that they were children that were dedicated to going to learn Koilo. He learns, no, every single child after the eighth day is dedicated to Hashem through the performance of the bris milah. That's what the pasuk means. They're li. Well, if you do a bris milah on your child, that means that you have made a statement that this child is Hashem's child. They have given them over for consumption. What does that mean? A korban for avodah zarah. Heavy room legilu lehem boesh zehu leochla lachila soesh. The eating of the fire. Okay, and then he quotes the Targum, which you probably do not have. I have it in brackets, so we'll leave it out.
I found this form ni'efu curious. Normally, the verb would be no'afu, but this is like a PL. This is
they caused others. They caused others.
Intensive.
Like they didn't just do. They caused others to follow in their ways and do this as well. In a chanami, it's a good point. Pasuk lamed ches oid zoyts asuli. Now here we go into more sins. What are the other sins that they did? Timuets mikdashi, they contaminated my Beis Hamikdash bayoy mahu, on that very day. We'll see in a moment. This means on the very day when they offered their child as a sacrifice to the avodah zarah moilich, they would come to the Beis Hamikdash and they would offer a sacrifice on the mizbeach l'shem avodah zarah. Now why can't you go and do it? If you want to go offer a sacrifice to the God, so why come to the Beis Hamikdash? It's lahachas. I want to come and offer my sacrifice to the God on the Mizbeach that is meant to offer sacrifices to Hashem. The child that was meant to serve Hashem, him, I gave as a sacrifice to the gods. And then in the place where you offer sacrifice to Hashem, I'm going to offer sacrifice to a God. And I'm going to do this not on a Monday or a Tuesday. I'm going to do this on the holiest day of the week, on Shabbos. The day that is Hashem's day, v'yesh Shabbos esai chilelu, they have profaned my Shabbos. Now, I think the Malbim later on says... Yeah. That's what it says. They were all corrupt. They let the Kayam let them. You Shabbos, there are no Kurbanos offered. You only bring the Talmud and the Musaf. You don't bring Kurbanos. Obviously, if the Kohanim are letting, they're coming there, they're doing this, they're letting them do this, is obviously this corruption at the highest level. Now, the Malbim explains over here, we all know this in concept, this concept is there is Kedusha in Zman, there is Kedusha in Mokoim, and there is a Kedusha in the Neshama, of a person. There are three different dimensions of this world. Oilam, Nefesh, and Oilam is Mokoim. Nefesh, the Shamas, Gemaral type of thing, and and Zman. Okay, Olam and Zman. There are three different dimensions in this world which we sanctify. We sanctify our neshama. We sanctify time, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim, and we sanctify location, Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash, okay, the Beis Hamikdash, Beis HaKnesses. So here, these two psukim together, Pasuk Lamed Lamed Zayin Lamed Ches, is describing that the Jewish people, they Chutam Meshulosh, they took all three together. They took the neshama, the holiest neshama, which means their children, that have been a holy neshama that has not sinned, pure neshama, alakai neshama shnasata bi toharihi, and this they sacrifice to a god. They sanctifice the makom by going and offering sacrifice to gods in the holiest place in the world. And when do they do this? Not Tuesday night. They did this Shabbos in the holiest zman of the year. So Malvin says they put all three together lahachas as an act of rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's see what's over here in the Mesudas Dov Pasuk Lamed Ches. Lamed Ches says, "Timei bo b'yom shaviu b'neim lapisim." On the very day that they offered their children as sacrifice to the gods, bo el hamikdash, they came to the mikdash lahakriv bo karbonos, to offer sacrifice v'timu es hamikdash im karbonos, and they contaminated the mikdash karbonos v'hoil ve'enam li l'ratzon. And the reason why it was contaminated was because it was not l'ratzon. Now, he doesn't say it as explicitly as some of the other commentators, who from the Mitzvahs, you get the impression they offered sacrifices to Hashem. Okay, but they were insincere. So being that when it was insincere, because 10 minutes ago they sacrificed their child to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to a god, so therefore it's not l'ratzon, it's a desanctification of the Mizbech. But other Mefarshim say they know they went into the Beis Hamikdash and they offered sacrifices to the gods on the Mizbeach that is holy. They did this act of offering their children as sacrifice to the gods on Shabbos. Let's see, Rashi Pasuk Lamed Ches says, Timu es mikdoshi bayamahu bayoyim sheshoychato es b'neim l'avodah zarah. On that very day, when they sacrificed children to Avodah Zarah, bos lefonai b'mikdash la'sosbo to'eva la'chiseni, they entered into the Beis Hamikdash to do abominations to anger me. So Rashi is a little more explicit that they did on the Mizbech abominations. So he's going back that they slaughtered their children to the Moilich on Shabbos. This was the Chilul Shabbos. Let's see the Radak Pasik Lamid Ches. Pasik lamed ches oid bayamahu zeinin kofel avdu hagilulim lahachiseni uva osu yom atz. On that very day, bohu lahakriv bebeisi ki ilu ani ene roye maasehen vikarbonosem heim tumas mikdoshi. So the Radak is a little bit more like Rashi, and a little more elaboration. He's saying of you that they were hypocrites. They go and in their backyard they sacrifice. They call the priest and they sacrifice their child to Moloch. That should bring us success in our business. But, you know, you have to, for Shaduchim, for the girls, you have to also look like Shane Yidden. So you have to come to the Beis HaMikdash and participate in the service. Hashem, who are you fooling over here? You're a bunch of hypocrites. You're coming to shul and you go and you make believe you're such a good juice, and then behind my back you go in the backyard, you do have a Zara. So this is just a joke. This type of service. Next, with Shacha, okay. Next, Pasuk Lamites, Uvishachatom. Okay, before we go further, there's a very, very popular, famous Gemara. This Gemara is the two Gemaras, the Gemara in the Bavli and in the Yerushalmi, the Gemara Masechta Nedarim, and there's a very similar story in the Yerushalmi Masechta Trumas. What's the story? So maybe I should read it inside, it will be easier. Ahu Noyef, there was a Maisa Shehoya, there was an adulterer. The all gabi that who into saw he went and he had a crush, he had a desire to live with a certain woman, but he did not yet do the avera. He was getting there, he was just about ready to clinch the deal. Okay, so he went into what he was saying, l'shem yichud. He was saying l'shem yichud. Okay, he was saying l'shem yichud. So he comes into the house, this woman, and then again, his bad luck, it was good luck. As about to start the process, the husband comes home. The husband pulls up in the driveway, okay, and there's nowhere for the guy to escape, so he goes and he hides under the bed. He hides in the closet. So it says in the Gemara, thing will happen, only thing will happen is the 21st century. It happened in the time of the Gemara as well. The same stories. Nothing ever changes. Who got noyev to all the gabi that he indisa? Asa gavra. The husband came. So what did this poor fellow do? Selek noyev isi bikile baba. He hid himself. He went out. He went and he hid himself in some compartment in the house. And he was watching. So the husband said to his wife, you know, I'm so hungry. It's a long day of work. Maybe I have something to eat. So the wife takes out some food. Have a machton tachalei tamon. There was some cress. Vitaminun chivya. And this man happened to know. So they put down the cress, this food on the table. And he goes to the Beis Akise before he sits down to dinner. And while he's in the Beis Akise, the person who's hiding behind the curtains, he notices that a poisonous snake injects into the dinner poison. So then the guy comes out of the Beis Akise, he sits down at the dining room table and is about now to eat the dinner. So the guy behind the curtains has a dilemma. What should I do? Should I go and should I scream out, don't eat it? If he eat it, because if he eats it, he's going to die. It's poisonous, for sure he's going to die. But if I go and I call out, don't eat it, he'll say, what are you doing here? And he'll put two and two together, and he knows what's going on, right? He already knows what's going on. He'll right away know that that he was mizane with his wife, or was at least attempting. And then, it's curtains. Okay, Dr. Phil, please, sorry. And then it's going to be curtains, because then the whole business, his reputation, will go down the drain, you know. So he has a very big dilemma, what to do. Okay, so this self says, you know, I'm going to do the right thing.
If he dies, then he can marry the woman.
Oh, that's the more it says. So the person says, you know what? I'm going to reveal that, I'm going to come out of the curtains, I'm going to tell the guy, don't eat it, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die. So boy, the base of lemechal min hahanu tachle, the balabais, the bow to eat the food, beloy died to not knowing the intisa without knowing that it was poisoned from his wife. Amal lea hu noyef loy teichal min hoin. The taminun chivya, snake has injected its poison. Amar rava so nifra. Fine, that was the maisa. Obviously, this guy was in the bad matzav. Obviously, you know, in the paper, the New York Times. The mice are fine, whatever. So he lost his job, whatever. The Shiloh was now, came to the Beis Din, what's with this man's wife? This man's wife, is she permitted to remain married to her husband? Because the halacha is, if a woman is mizane, if a woman commits adultery, willingly, she's also labala. She's no longer allowed to remain with her husband. This is a very big problem today, Rahman al-Sultan. What? Ulaboyal, that's Pashat. Okay, she's not living with her husband. So they came and they asked the Shiloh. So the woman says, We never did anything. Even though he was in the house, nothing, even though there's circumstantial evidence, nothing ever happened. Do we believe her? Do we believe him? So the Gemara says, yeah, well, it's worse than Saita. Saita is asking, no, that's the warning. Saita is a different Shiloh. He asked the warner, he asked the Yichud. Okay, but the Shiloh here is this woman going to be permitted to remain married to her husband? Do we believe her when she says that he did not do an Aveira? There's circumstantial evidence the woman was Mizana. Maybe Bezin should step in and say, you two are no longer allowed to live together. That's it, you have to get a divorce. That's it. So this Shiloh was presented to the Bezin. So the Bezin passed on Amar Rava, into say Sharia. The wife is allowed to remain married to her husband. How do we know this? Because in Issa the Avar Isura, because if it's true that this man and woman really they did the Aveira, then Nichale the Lechal Habal Vlemus, and the Gemara quotes this pasuk here, because the Chazal have we yoye l'soif daitoy shel adam. Every member of the Sanhedrin had a PhD and a postdoctorate in psychology. Okay, that's what it says. They had a PhD in psychology, and they knew that a person, if he indeed was nichshol with this woman, he would want the man to die so he can remain living with this woman. The fact that he called out behind the curtains and said, don't eat, is an indication that he didn't do anything. And how do you know this? Chazal can say this on their own. They quoted this pasuk of Yechezkel. They quote a pasuk from Shemayim that says, Akini Efu Vidom Bidehen. Unbelievable insight is that if indeed it is true that the man and the woman committed adultery, Kini Efu, then there would be Dom Bidehen. That's what I learned. Then in this matzah, where the man is behind the curtains, once already he got used to her and he already engaged in the forbidden relations with her, He wants it more. That's human nature. Taiva. You do it once, you want to do it again. It's addiction. You want to do it again and again. Let the guy die. Let the guy die. The guy is dead. Therefore, I'll have no problem. I'll be able to marry her. I'll be able to do this. You know, everything will be fine and good. This is what Chazal said, and they based it upon this very pasuk. Fascinating insight into human psychology. So then the Gemara says, you can write a whole thesis just upon like this by Chazal analyzing all the pros and cons. What? This is Gemara Masech Nedom Daf Tzadi Aleph. Tzadi Aleph on the base. I'm sure the source of psychologists must know, the Jewish psychologists know about this Gemara very well. Now, the Gemara says, Pshita. Okay, it's not so posh to me. But the Gemara says, Pshita, of course. What's the Chiddush? A man is nichshel with a woman. He did it already one time. He has a tie for her. He's addicted. So, of course, he's going to require the want of the guy to die. And if he didn't do it, if he never ever did, he was never toye in tam iser. He never got used to her. He never had the experience. So therefore, shvichas damim is too chomer in his eyes. He would not let it off. Pasha, this is. The Gemara says, no, it's not so pasha because there's another principle that the mind, you got to keep in, you have to play with the mind. Mal de sema is sur avad. Really, he did the avera, but he bedafka wants to keep this woman, this man alive because then it would be forbidden. Mayim genuvim v'hai d'amalei d'nechle d'loy lemuspal d'teheve intisei ilavei b'matzav shol mayim genuvim yimtaku. Stolen waters are sweet. Fascinating insight. You know, people, I once read about this, is incest. What's this? Crazy. What is incest? Who would engage in such crazy things? It's disgusting, right? No, adrab, incest is mayim genuvim. Other types of averos, other types of arayos, it's not mayim genuvim. It's taiva, a panuya. They can either can be mutter, not mutter. There are always ways to make it mutter eventually, right? You kill off the husband, or they're not married. But incest is inherently asa. There is no way around it. There's nothing you can possibly do to be mutter in any culture, any society. It's asa, asa, asa. It's asa. Ah, it's mayim genuvim. Mayim genuvim, this is something which is more appealing to me. Okay, it's more appealing to the human mind. You don't know what?
First of all, the Gemara had to give you both svaras because if the bezin would pass them, everyone would have one day.
Exactly. So you have, this is an incredible Gemara. It's a very, very famous Gemara. I'm sure you'll heard this. What?
There was a third reason. Since he had relations with her, he didn't want to be stuck with her anymore.
No, it doesn't say that. You see, it doesn't say that. The Gemara seems to say, they see the Gemara is showing you that once he has with her once, he wants to maintain that. He's not tired of her.
And with the Shiloh with incest, yeah. Shiloh and Tzalah, not the Debrezina, Ber Moshe, where Chassidus Shagai writes for Shuvi, he says he had a taiva and he didn't want a Chas V'Chalila wasted with a.
Let's stop here. We're going too far. Let's stop. Over here it's a very, this is a Yisustic Gemara. You have the balance, the conflict. Mayim Genuvim. Verse, this idea in Isa, the Avari Surah, Nichele de Lechol Habal Velemos. This conflict, what was Machria? Chazal Machria, that Nichele de Baal, that he should die, based upon the pasuk we learned today in Yecheskel, which comes straight from the Ribbono Shel Olam Ki Ni'efu, if indeed they are guilty of Ni'uf, Vidom Bi Dehen. The blood will be bidehen. Now, I see, the Gemara says, I would think it's a cover-up. You see, we all know today, in the modern world, we all know, it's davar yidua, it's not so bad to do an avera. Don't take that seriously. But that's the world. Ein odom, ein tzadik ba'aretz, shayase tov lo yechta. What gets everyone, from the President of the United States down to the simplest man, is the cover-up. Okay, the mitzias is the cover-up. You do an avera, nu? Didn't have air, what can you do? That's the way life is. But then when you're caught, how do you deal with the situation? If you say, Chotosi, Avisi, Pashati, we all know we live in a world today that is extremely gracious. Extremely, you can do the worst of theirs. You say, Chotosi, Avisi, Pashati, I'm going for therapy. I'm going to a rehab center for therapy. You got a clean slate. They'll Baruch Hashem, that's the world. But if you say I didn't do anything wrong, you don't want to make a then you're finished. You're finished. We all know that. You see that today over and over in every segment of society. So I would think, I'm just telling you my thing out loud, ki niyefu v'dam bidehen. That when it says v'dam bidehen means the cover-up. It's human nature. They've committed adultery. This man and woman committed adultery. Now the husband is now about to eat the poison, right? He's about to eat the poison. So if I open up my mouth, then the husband's going to stay alive. And what's going to happen? I'm going to be exposed. If I keep my mouth shut, it's the ultimate cover-up. Right? I've done the Avera, and now I'm going to be quiet. Why am I going to be quiet? Because that's human nature. You will do anything that you can possibly do to cover up your sin, not to get caught. That's what I would think. But yet, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says V'dam bidehen means it's not because the cover-up, it's because they want to do it again. I want to do the Avera again. That's what it says. The words of the Gemara are Nichalei delechol v'lemus. He wants v'lei d'chsiv ki nefu v'dam bidehen.
Same thing.
Lo, that's not it. Amar in the seshar in Isa the avari surah Nichole de lechol velemos. He's happy. Hey, the Gemara is not really saying what it is.
There's a way of learning pshat like this. If kidneifu v'dam biyodeim, they know that they did an avera, then that person can do tshuva. But you have people who will do averas and they'll think, I didn't do anything wrong.
And denial.
And not only denial, they will continue their life. Take a sexual molester.
So you're interpreting it as a shvach that they know they're willing to confront. They're going to confront it.
Right.
That's not what the pasuk is saying. Okay, you know, I take it back. The Gemara doesn't exactly say they want to continue. The Gemara just says you have to analyze. You have to look in the Rishonim. You see, yeah, probably you'll look in the Rishonim. You'll find different interpretations of this Gemara. Obviously, this Gemara is really a gold mine to understand the human mind, psychology, to understand what goes through a person's mind when you try to do an Avera, when you call, you're in the middle of the Avera, all the different angles, and this is just the words of the Gemara. You know, go start looking at the Rishonim. See how Rashi dissects this Gemara. See how Tosfos dissects. Go take out these esoteric today, but they have all these Rishonim. Look what the Meiri says. Look what the Ritva, the Rashi says. You'll probably find hidden gems of human psychology in how they analyze the depth of what it says in these words here. Now there's another Gemara, it's a very similar story, and if you analyze it, you'll probably find a whole new dimension to this concept. It's a Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi talks about a man and a wife, a man was very stingy. He did not want to give a penny to tzedakah. And the wife was just the opposite. So they had a horrible marriage. Because the wife was a tzaddikus and the husband was a miser. And the ma'ase shehayu, that a beggar came to the home and banged the door and says, "Can you give me some bread, please?" So the wife says, "Of course, come in. I'll give you a meal. I'll give you a whole meal." She took in the beggar, sat him down, and then guess who pulls up in the driveway? The husband pulls up in the driveway. So the beggar runs for hiding because he knows that the husband comes home and sees the beggar in the house, he'll kill him. Who knows? And then the husband comes, same exact story. He comes in, he sits down to have dinner, and then he goes out for a second. A snake comes, puts poison in the food, and then he comes, and the beggar says behind the curtains, "Don't need it. This poison in there." And so fine. So he saved his life. So then the same exact Shiloh came to the Beis Din. Maybe the beggar was having an illicit relationship with the wife. Yichud, they were over on Yichud. How far do we go? And that's very different than the Gemara in the Bavli. Because in the Bavli, the guy wasn't a beggar. The only thing they're doing there is having a forbidden relationship.
No, but there was no Yichud because Baal Beir.
No, not necessarily. We don't have all the details. Maybe Baila was Shaloi Beir. The expectation was he went overseas, right? He's gone. She didn't know that it emerged. She happened, he came back in the middle. Let's assume the worst. It's very interesting that the Yerushalmi puts it in this type of story in a very different perspective, which might indeed change the dynamics of the psychology behind. Because the Ani says, what's the big deal?
What's the big deal? What are they? I don't do wrong. What? They're going to accuse me of having relations with this woman? Look what I look like. I smell. I have shmatas. I'm an ugly person. They're going to accuse me. Everyone knows I here came for a meal. Oh, in Echanam, Inat Petrobis Larayas. But it's a far cry from the case of the Bavli, where the guy is a good-looking, handsome prince, you know, and he comes in. What else are you doing over here in this house? Come on. Let's check all the records over here. Check all the cell phone records. We know what's going on over here. It's a whole different world. So that it also speaks volumes between what the case is, what is the story, how it's presented in the Bavli versus how it's presented in the Yerushalmi. Okay, but it's all based upon this pasuk. So it's kedai to appreciate the pasuk, the limudim from these the limudim, the Maror Chazal that comes out of this pasuk. Let's go one more pasuk lametes uveshachatam es bneim ligilu lehem vayavol mikdash v'yemahu. Okay, this is a repetition. Pasuk lametes really repeating what we just learned in the two psukim, just emphasizing they slaughter their children ligilu lehem to the idols vayavol el mikdash v'yemahu on that very day lahaches. The very day that they slaughter their children to the idols, they come to the Beis Hamikdash l'chalo to profane it by offering a sacrifice to the gods. V'inei choyosu b'sechbesi, and look what they do in my house. They do this in the Beis Hamikdash. Let's see what says in the Mitzudos pasuk lamitas uveshachatam return loyma hoisifu oy lasos kein be'es shashachdu esmenim lepsilim oz. Bahu el mikdashi bayamahu l'man chaloi koimer habia hoisak bekavanim yuchedes l'chal amidish l'vazoisai. They enter with contempt. Contempt to profane the bias. Vinei koya asu ritzon loymar hadavar shesiparti asu b'sachbesi. This is what they have done in my home. Okay, let's see. Rashi, there is none because we already explained all this. Radak uveshachatam makar minakal. I'm not familiar with all these grammatical ideas. V'yesh oimim min hadogush v'chov l'inin b'zeh pasuk b'mila shoynas. Next words. Vinei koya asu b'sachbesi v'hinei asu zeh chilul b'sachbesi. So here he learns another interpretation. They did the same things in my bias, in addition to worshipping idols at home and in churches. They worshipped idols in the Beis Hamikdash itself by painting images of the idols in the walls of the Beis Hamikdash. Shohayu mitzayrim tsurois. Besoch lishkoyt swazar in the chambers of the azar umikatrim lohem and will offer ketores to them kimol shekosavnu beparashas bashona hashishis like we learned before in Perek Ches. All right, let's now go to pasuk mem. The avki shishlachno lanoshim. Next thing that she does, she sends lanoshim boim mimerchok. Okay, so she invites. This was another sin, is that they invited the foreigners to come to the land in order to teach them how to worship the idols, ba'ifan mechuda, asher malach shaluach alim, they send messengers to them, v'hinei vahu, they send to the foreign nations messengers, begging them to please come to our land and show us what to do. And indeed they come, la'asher rochas, and when they come, they wash themselves, kochal te'inayich, they put on makeup on their eyes, beautiful eyes, v'odis edi, and they wear jewelry. So it's describing that they eagerly awaited the arrival of the members of the foreign nations when they arrived, and they arrived on their land to teach them to do Avodah Zarah, and they greeted them with clean after they bathed, and they put on jewelry, and they put on makeup upon their eyes. Pasuk Mem, this is David the Af. They send messengers. Return to my culture. Came Shasal Ois Yosef to the bigger Rabbi Meishna Asher. Tishlachna lanoshim shayu boim eilecham eretz merchok. Mimokem shayu sham. Asher malach. Return to my hashlichus hoy aidei malach hashnuch aleim bekavon miyuchades. They send special messengers. A malach means a messenger. They sent a special messenger to these foreign nations to ask them to come to visit v'hineivo, and they listened v'chinei kenasu uvolamokem asher rachatz. Where did they come? They came. They were greeted by the representatives of the land, who were dressed in their best clothing, bathed with makeup and jewelry. Asher achat shamo shamadir umileis einayich imakochol. They filled their eyes with makeup. The human tseva, the kishat atzmech, the kishutim with ornaments. The robe beinayim mash at miyapo atzmech, and the foreigners saw that the host country appreciated their arrival by decorating itself, in order that they should find favors. So this would encourage them to extend their visit and teach them every little trick of Avodah Zarah. Okay, I just can't help but telling you, you know, today, only a few hours ago, Trump has arrived in Eretz Yisrael, and you know, the whole country has been adorned. You read the news, the preparations that went into this. It's a note of the oyam. I can't wait to see you later. I remember. It's sad to me because I remember watching with my mother, Allah Hashalom, when Obama came to Eretz Yisrael. When Obama came, and then I remember on YouTube, I remember comparing Obama to Bush. Well, was it Bush or Clinton? When Clinton, I know Bush never came, right? Clinton.
Navis the president.
Well, I just found the ceremony at the airport fascinating. I just whatever the whole spiel, every little detail. I just find it fascinating. And watching Saudi Arabia, what they did over there. One thing I just can't hold back from holding you. I couldn't get over the video of Trump dancing with the swords with all of the members of Saudi Arabia, the princes, the whatever, I don't even know what their titles are. What's so shocking is, it just came to mind, Chazal say that there's a fundamental difference between Esav and Yishmael. Yishmael's chosen weapon is the bow and arrow. V'hu yihyeh roiveh kashos. And Esav is b'char b'cha yichy tichyeh. It's b'ferish. The bracha of Yitzhak to Yaakov is you're going to live by the sword. So it's shocking to see. The whole world is watching. 7 billion people have access to go see this video, to see the Yishmaelim dancing with the swords. They have embraced the Nida of the Chazal. This is the old Chazal, because we have a Chazal that says by Matan Torah for Shuas, by Matan Torah, Hashem came to the Yishmaelim and Hashem said to the Yishmaelim, will you be mekabel the Torah? So the different Maamar Chazal, they said no. What does it say in the Torah? It says in the Torah loitinof. Says no, that's not for us. Well, that's our way of life. Came to Esav, and they said to Esav, Esav, do you want to be mekabel? No, what does it say? Loy tirtzach. No, that's not our way of life. Today, it's been pointed out is that one of the problems that America suffers from is morality. In America, I'm not putting down the problem that they're shrichas domim. But the bigger problem in America, there's no morality. Gili Arayis is just off the charts. I mean, people don't get married, and the Arayis and open marriages, the whole society is corrupt to its core. Morality. This is the midah of Yishmael. Yishmael's problem is so they're suicidal. They want to mamish destroy the world. The fundamentalists want to destroy the world. So what has happened is each nation, each of the two major umays, has taken from the other. It's the joining. This really is what it says in the Parashas Tolos. After Yaakov Avinu went, he was told by Rivka and Yitzhak to find the Shidduch. So it's Esav. So who did Esav marry? He married Mochalas Bas Yishmael. Nice of a simin labanim. Chazal say this, that the time is going to come is when there's going to be a synthesis, the merger of Yishmael and Esav. Esav went to Yishmael. There's going to be this synthesis. To some degree, what we saw, what the whole world saw, this dance, they're dancing together, the representative of Edom, which Chazal say is Esav, and the Yishmael with Mamash, such a geschmack, and such a lishma. If you watch the video very carefully, okay, you have to see all the videos, some of them only tiny little clips, with such, it's like, wow. This is Mamish Vayelech Vayikach Esav, Smochlas Bas Yishmael, and Yishmael is dancing with the sword. This is not your weapon. Your weapon is the Roideh Kashos. It's the bow and arrow. What are you dancing with the sword? The sword is the weapon of Esav. So it's interesting. It's interesting to see how the Nevuos and the Mari Chazal are unfolding in front of us in the modern world. You don't have to go anywhere. It's on your smartphone, right in front of you. You can see all these things. We're living in very, very interesting times. Interesting times to see all these things coming. Okay, so we have to review this pasuk, and tomorrow, pasuk mem.